Hi, this is Pastor Patrick of Calvary Chapel, Wichita. I pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Next year is going to be Ann and Patrick's 20th Christmas together. We've known each other longer than that, but the reason I realized it last night is I was wrapping presents and, well, they were a little sad. And I realized, you know, for like a round number for a 20th year, I need to get back on my game. Because when it comes to Christmas gifts, I've been falling down on the job a little bit. I mean, we still exchange presents every year, but over the years, and tell me if this is true, people who have been married for a while, things get more practical. Things go from, you know, the romantic to things you were going to buy anyway, you just buy it a little sooner. Or maybe you get the version that's a little nicer. I got you a computer bag, and it's got wheels on it. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I think back to the first Christmas after we decided that we were falling in love. And in fact, the first several Christmases, things were a little different. And not gushy different, not sappy different, because that's never really been who we are. But and not expensive different either, because that's really never been who we are. But gifts that said, I really, really like you. And I pay attention to you, and I want to know everything about you, and I want to give you things that I know that you're going to like and the things that are going to make you really just smile. And so our first year, our first couple years as a couple, I did this 12 days of Christmas thing. The first couple years, because she was living in Illinois and I was living in New Jersey. And so I mailed gifts so that they would arrive one every day. Just little things, like, you know that my wife loves Snoopy, so I got her a little Timex Snoopy watch. Now, not everyone knows my wife likes poo, but see, I pay attention, so I knew that about her. And I got her a Winnie the Pooh sweatshirt, and a DVD of the first movie we ever saw together, and a CD that had the song that was the song that sort of was always around, always on the radio, always in the restaurant when we were figuring out we were supposed to be together. And I got her caramels because she likes caramels more than she likes chocolate, unless they're Andy's candies, so I got her those too. And fleece socks because her feet are cold, but wool makes her skin itch. And, you know, not a lot of money. I was actually really proud. It was like, you know, $80 all in the first year because I wasn't trying to convince her I was rich because I didn't want to disappoint her. But what I was going for, I was trying to show her how much I wanted to spend the rest of my life with her. But while I was thinking yesterday about 2017 and needing to get back to that place, it occurred to me 2,000 years ago, Jesus did very much the same thing that I did in those first Christmases. In fact, he did it on the very first Christmas. Jesus showed up on Christmas because we were living way, way far away from him. And when he came, he brought gifts that he picked out just as carefully, gifts that he chose just as carefully for us as the ones I chose for Anne. And he did it for the same exact reason. He did it because he loves us. He did it because he wanted to show us that he wants to spend not just the rest of our lives together, he wants to spend the rest of eternity with us. So what are the gifts that Jesus brought us? We know the gifts that the Magi, the wise men brought Jesus, the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh. But what does Jesus bring us? It's interesting, people have asked this question before, and if you go online, if you Google this, there are lists that are like 40 different gifts, 80 different gifts, and probably more than that, because they probably don't overlap. And so we could look at 80 different gifts that Jesus brought us today, and really, we could spend even more than today, because James chapter 1, verse 17 tells us that every single good and perfect gift comes from where? From God, from above. That means that every single good thing in our life comes from Jesus. And we could spend forever talking about that. But what are some of the gifts that Jesus brought us specifically at Christmas? Still a pretty long list, but this morning I thought that we would look at seven. Seven because it's the number of completion in the Bible. Seven because I haven't opened my presents yet, and I want to go home and do that. First gift that Jesus brought us on Christmas, we read about in 1 John 1:9. First gift that Jesus brings us on Christmas is the gift of forgiveness. If we confess our sin, he forgives our sin. Why do we need forgiveness? Sin. Yeah. Our sin separated us from God. That's what put us really far away from God. Jesus paid the price for our sin. He died for us so that we could be forgiven. You want to learn a new word? Justified is what Jesus did. It's just as if we never sinned at all. Pretty good gift. Why is it so important? Because now there's nothing separating us from God anymore. We can talk to Him. We can hear from Him. We can read the Bible. We can understand what God is saying. And when we die, what happens? Get to go to heaven to be with Him. We wouldn't have gotten to do that if Jesus had never come. Forgiveness is really the gift that lets us use all of the other gifts. Forgiveness is the gift that makes every other gift we get from God matter. Show of hands, who got new PlayStation, new Wii, new Xbox this Christmas? That's the gift that you need. Who got a new game this Christmas? Okay, more people. You need their gift before you can use your gift. It's great to get a new game, but you need the Wii, you need the PlayStation, you need the Xbox before you can enjoy the gift of a new game. Forgiveness is the Xbox, is what I'm going for here. It's the gift that lets us enjoy all the other gifts Jesus is going to give us. One of those gifts, let's go to number two on our list of seven this morning, we find in John, and this is the Gospel of John. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6. The next gift that Jesus brings is the gift of relationship. If it wasn't for Jesus, we wouldn't get to call God Father. That's a special relationship we have because of Jesus. If it wasn't for Jesus, God would still be our creator. He'd still be our maker. And He'd still be everything that He is. He'd be all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing. But we wouldn't know Him. I have a friend who a couple years ago tracked down his father, and they finally reunited. They finally met on Christmas. He'd never met his father. He was my age, but he'd been raised by his mom and then by his grandparents and never knew his dad. And he'd always wondered about him. He had heard stories about him, had some pictures of him. He knew a little bit about him. He didn't know him, never had a relationship with him. He was just a name, a picture, an idea. But a couple Christmases ago, they met. And they've had a relationship ever since. They call each other. They get together once or twice a year. They laugh. They tell stories. And his father was able to explain some things to him that he never really understood. Some things about why he is the way he is and some health problems that he had that never really made sense. And he discovered that there's some things about his personality that are the same as everybody else in his family. And one of the great things is that he's a lot less angry now about the life that he had growing up than he used to be. Jesus offers us the gift of that kind of relationship with our Heavenly Father. We know about God from the time that we can think thoughts. From the time we're old enough to look at the world around us, we know there has to be a God. But through Jesus, we can get to know God. We can enjoy God, and through that, we can understand a lot more about why we are the way we are and where we come from and who we're supposed to be. We can even ask for help. And that's the third gift that we get from Jesus at Christmas. You're ready for number three? John chapter 16, verse 23. That's Jesus telling us that God is a prayer-hearing, prayer-answering God. If we go to God in Jesus' name, whatever we ask, He's going to give us. Now, who's ever asked God for something and not gotten it? Okay, that's most of us. Why does that happen? James chapter 4, verse 3. The thing about praying to God is He loves us too much to give us exactly what we ask for every single time. And sometimes we don't ask for the right thing, right? Sometimes we're too focused on what we want and not what's best for everybody. Sometimes we don't even know what's best for us. I'll give you an example of how this works. My daughter's name is Michaela. A lot of you know her. She's going to be 15 next month. I don't approve of that. But one good thing about it is that a lot of times now she makes her own dinner, and that's good. When she was little, I usually made her dinner, and I'd ask her, what do you want for dinner? What do you suppose 5-year-old Michaela wanted for dinner? Mac and cheese was number two. Number one was ice cream. She hates me right now. So 5-year-old Michaela says, what do you want for dinner? Ice cream. Now, I'm dad. I'm still dad. I wanted to fix her something that she'd really like. I also wanted her to live long enough to be 15. Which ice cream for dinner wasn't, you know. So if she had said chicken, would have made her chicken. If she said hamburger, I would have bought her, you know, made her hamburger. If she said taco, I would have made her tacos. I had the power to do that. I wanted to do that. But if she kept saying ice cream, ice cream, ice cream, I'd have to say, I love you, but I've got something better. God hears our prayers. He hears us say ice cream. He answers our prayers. But the answer isn't always yes. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not yet. And sometimes the answer is, I've got something even better for you. Even better than ice cream. Next gift. John chapter 14, verse 15 and 16, please. Holy Spirit is a gift that keeps on giving. One Christmas, my mom sent us, our family, a box. She lives in Minnesota, so we don't always get to have Christmas with her. She sent this big old box one Christmas. We opened it up, and inside were all these other boxes. There was a box of apples, and there was a box of pears. And then there was one box that had three boxes inside it. It had a box of chocolates and a box of nuts and a box of caramels. And then there was another box, and you open it up, and it had a box of crackers and a box of cheese and a box of, it was like dinner. Box o' dinner, but we ate off of that thing all week. Gift of the Holy Spirit is kind of like that big box. The Holy Spirit's many gifts all in one. The Holy Spirit gives us the gift of illumination so we can read the Bible and understand it. The Holy Spirit gives us the gift of being sealed. God puts the Holy Spirit upon us and tells Satan, hands off, he's mine. Holy Spirit gives us the gift of unity and draws us together. Holy Spirit gives us the gift of gifts. Spiritual gifts like teaching, like evangelism, like helps, like encouragement so that we can serve God. And the Holy Spirit gives us the gift of fruit. Not fruit like apples and pears. Fruit of the Holy Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, and so forth. And yeah. And one of my favorites out of that whole list is peace. The Holy Spirit gives us peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, but when he left, he said, I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit so that you have everything that I've given you and I want you to have, including peace. Knowing that what God is doing, knowing what God is allowing, is the very best thing that could happen in our lives. Whatever looks like is going on around us. And here's one of the things that we discover as we walk with God. Sometimes the things that look like the worst things, the hardest things, the difficult things, the painful things, turn out to be the best things. And the longer Jesus is in our life, the more peace we have, the more we learn to trust. You know what? It looks horrible. This feels painful. But you know what? Jesus is in my life, so he's going to work this for good. And the peace that we have from the Holy Spirit isn't just knowing that. It's not just remembering that. What is it? It's believing it by faith. And that's another gift that comes from God. Gift number 5, John 1, verse 14. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14. Full of unfailing love and faithfulness. What does it say in the New King James, someone? Full of grace and truth. Yeah. We've already talked about grace. Grace is what lets God forgive us. Grace is that part of God that gives us things we don't deserve. Did we deserve all of these things that we've been talking about? All of the things that Jesus brought us? Did we get them because we were so good? No, we kind of got them because we were so bad. We needed them. The things that Jesus gave us, we get because he loves us so much. But the other gift he gives us, he's full of grace and truth. When I was in school, especially when I was in college, no one really cared about truth. My math teacher cared about truth because if I told him that my answer was close or if I told him my answer seemed right to me, he didn't have a lot of use for that. Anyone else, though, seemed like they wanted me to believe there was no such thing as truth, and I kept trying to get them to talk to my math teacher. They wouldn't do that. Anywhere but math and science, and sometimes even in science, truth is whatever you want to say if you say it winsomely enough. So I'd write papers, I'd take tests, and I wouldn't ask myself what was true because no one cared. I'd ask myself, what's going to sound good? What's the best story I can tell? And I'd think about it. Okay, do I want to say the same thing everyone else is going to say, but say it differently? Or do I need to say something completely different than everyone else just so I'll stand out? Or do I want to say the exact same thing the exact same way as everybody else, but say it better? And whether something was true didn't enter into it. Didn't matter. Professors didn't care. But if there's no such thing as true and false, if I can't trust that some things are right and some things are wrong, how am I supposed to make decisions? How am I supposed to know what to do? How am I supposed to find answers to the really big questions in life? What's life all about? What should I be when I grow up? What happens to people when they die? Why should anybody watch anybody else whip or nene? These are the things that concern me. If there's no such thing as true and false, as right or wrong, we can't really know anything. And that gets pretty frustrating. If there's no such thing as good and bad, right or wrong, true or false, that makes life kind of meaningless. Because what's the point? There's nothing worth doing. There's just stuff that people do. Jesus put a stop to all of this nonsense. How did he do that? He introduced us to God. And he introduced us to God's word. Now, we might have had a Bible before. Growing up, there were always Bibles in my house. Never read it. Never read it because when I opened it up, I didn't understand it. It didn't make sense. And that was all of us before Jesus came into our life. But now we know, we understand there's such a thing as true and there's such a thing as not true. And what's true is what lines up with God's word. And what's not true is what goes against God's word. Makes things so much easier, doesn't it? We don't have to wonder. We don't have to guess about what's right or wrong. We don't have to hope that we're figuring it out right. And we don't have to give up because it doesn't seem to matter. What do we have to do to find the truth? Just read. Just ask. God, lead me to the truth because you are truth. Now, knowing what's right and wrong, knowing what's good and bad, wouldn't be much of a gift if God didn't also give us the power to do what's good and what's right. And this is gift number 6, God giving us the power to do what he asks us to do. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. The problem that people had before Jesus was that God's law told them what was right and what was wrong. But we also have this sin nature that made it really hard to do what was right. In fact, it was impossible. And the other thing our sin nature did is it made what was bad look really, really good. One of the best gifts that Jesus gives us is the power to do the good that God has always told us about. And technically, this is part of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us that power. But it's so important, we're going to give it its own box this morning. Sort of like if you got an Xbox and that's a really big gift and it comes in one box, but if I only get one gift and everybody else has 3 gifts, then I don't have anything to open. So what my mom would do with something like that is she'd wrap the controllers in different boxes. So it seemed like I was getting more. This is one of the gifts that comes with the Holy Spirit, but we're going to put it in its own box. Power. Power over sin. Power to do the things that God wants us to do and to say no to the things he doesn't want us to do. Sometimes we still sin. Why? Because we're still in these bodies. And our bodies like to sin. And we fight that. Now we fight that. Before we knew Jesus, the only reason to not sin was what? Might get caught. People might think I'm a sinner. But now we come to Jesus and all of that changes. Now, if we think about Jesus, we can decide to follow Jesus and we can use the power that we have from Jesus to not sin. But we got to listen to Jesus. We've got to listen to the Holy Spirit in us and not to our flesh. But when we do, we'll find that we have within us the power to obey. Notice the key there. What's the key step we can't miss? We've got to listen. We've got to listen to God in us And we've got to decide to use the power God has placed in us. And we've got to want that power more than we want to sin. We're still going to want to sin. We still are in this fleshly, corrupt body. We're still going to want to sin. But if we listen to God's voice and we rely on God's power, we can make a different choice. Sort of like you remember, now this is people my age, remember Looney Tunes, remember Bugs Bunny, remember Sylvester the cat. There was almost all of them at one point or another had the angel sitting on one shoulder and the devil sitting on the other shoulder. They'd go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. There's a Native American legend that's very much along the same lines. The story is that each of us has a white wolf in us and a dark wolf in us. And the question is, which wolf wins? And the answer is the one we feed. Do we feed our fleshly nature, our carnal nature, or do we feed our Holy Spirit nature? Do we feed, do we pursue, do we nourish God within us? Now, do you have a feeling we're just getting started? We've covered six just like that. We could go all day. We could keep listing off gifts that Jesus has given us, and it's actually a good thing to do. We won't do it now. But sometime when you've got some time, think about all the gifts that you've gotten from Jesus. And as you do that, what's a good thing to do next? What do your parents get? Write your thank you notes. Exactly. My mom used to make us write thank you notes Christmas afternoon. Very first thing. Before we get to play with anything, go write your... I see what she was going for now. You can thank me later for not doing that to you. But saying thank you is a really important thing, isn't it? Saying thank you to God is a really important thing. But I want to fast forward through all of the other gifts that we could talk about and thank God for to the very last one, the one that comes after all of the other gifts. John 14, verses 2 and 3. John 14, 2 and 3. Hey, Jesus bought us a house. I mean, not really, but sort of. In my house are many rooms or many mansions. So what's Jesus talking about there? Heaven. Yeah, the gift we get from Jesus at the end of this life, after all of the other presents we get to enjoy in this life, is heaven. We get all this in heaven too. What do we know about heaven? Not that much, it turns out. And most of what we think we know is wrong. Heaven's not full of white puffy clouds. People don't fly around with wings. We don't all have halos. Here's what we know. We know that the worst thing in heaven, the very worst thing in heaven, is better than the very best thing on earth. So that's not bad, right? Why do we get to go to heaven? Yeah, if you're new, we have a saying in adult church, when in doubt, say Jesus. Yeah. We get to go to heaven because Jesus. We get to go to heaven because Jesus traded places with us. We should have died on a cross, right? Our sin should have kept us away from God forever. Our sin should have kept us out of God's presence forever. But 2,000 years ago, Jesus gave us the greatest gift of all. He said, let's trade. Jesus said, I'll make you a deal. I'll take all your sin, all your filth, all of your yuck. You take all of my love, all of my righteousness. And if we had been there, we would have said, but wait, Jesus, that means that you're also going to have to take all of the consequences. You're going to take all of the penalty for my sin. That means that you're going to have to take my death for my sin. And Jesus says, yeah, let's trade anyway. At the cross, Jesus gave us everything he had as a present. He gave us the relationship with the Father that he had. He gave us the power of the Holy Spirit that he had. He gave us the place in heaven that he had. He left heaven. He came to us. He came to be Emmanuel, God with us, so that he could give us everything he had. And all we had to give him was our sin. Man, he must really love us. And he does. Last verse for this morning. You don't have to turn there because I'm guessing that you all know it. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he did what? Gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him would not perish, but have eternal life. God so loved the world, he did what? Gave us who? Jesus. The reason Jesus is able to give us all of these gifts is that God the Father gave us Jesus. 2,000 years ago, God the Father gave us the best Christmas present that anyone has ever gotten, ever. God the Father came down from heaven and handed us a baby. He gave us a present wrapped in swaddling cloths. And 33 years later, Roman soldiers unwrapped that gift so that we could be blessed by it. God gave us the very best gift he could find, the most expensive gift he could find, a gift that shows us like nothing else how much he loves us and how badly he wants to spend not just the rest of this life, but forever with us. Which is why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. What indescribable gift is Paul talking about? Jesus. So what do we get for him? I mean, it doesn't seem fair, right? God gives us all that. He gives us his Son. What do we give him? Our sin. What a ripoff. We can do better than that, right? Now, the reality is before we knew Jesus, we couldn't do better than that. Before we knew Jesus, the best we had to offer was what? Big old pile of stinky garbage. And God didn't want it. God, here's all my garbage. Get away from me. I don't want your garbage. But now that we know Jesus, now that we have Jesus, we can do better than that. We can give God better than a big pile of filthy rags. Now that we have Jesus, we can give gifts to God. And what's the greatest gift that we could give God? It's to use the gifts he's given us. Seriously. That first Christmas that Ann and I were in love back in 1997, when, you know, the things that I thought about and I'd searched out and the things that I thought would be perfect, when I was giving her those things, I genuinely wasn't thinking about what she was going to give me. I was obsessed. I wanted her to enjoy what I'd gotten her. I wanted to see her wear the watch. I wanted to go visit her and see the blanket on the couch like she'd been taking a nap under it. I wanted to get in her car and hear the CD that I'd given her on the stereo. And if I asked her, hey, what do you want to do tonight? I wanted her to say, I want to stay home and watch the DVD you got me for Christmas. And that's exactly what God wants. If you were to ask God, God, what can I get you for Christmas? He'd say, nothing. I don't need anything. I'm good. And he is. It's the same answer I get from my mom, but in God's case, it's really true. He really is good. He really doesn't need anything from us. What he wants, what would delight him, is to see us enjoy the gifts that he's given us. First gift he gave us is forgiveness. What's the way to use that gift? How do we thank God for the forgiveness that we've gotten? How about forgive others? No one has done anything to you that's as horrible as what we did to God. If God can forgive all of our sin and all of our ugliness, can't we forgive people who have hurt us? After God has forgiven us, there shouldn't be anyone we can't forgive. Second gift was relationship. Jesus made it possible for God to be our Father again. How do we say thank you for that? Let him be our Father. Spend time with him. Be proud of him. Tell people about him. When I was my daughter's age, I wasn't very proud of my parents. If we went to Target, if we went to the mall, I'd find an excuse to stay in the car and then I'll catch up with you. Except that I never would. I'd go to the other side of the store. I'd find an excuse to go off on my own so people wouldn't see me with my parents. One of the greatest gifts my daughter gives me is that she still holds my hand when we go to the store. Thank you for that. But we can do that for God, can't we? A way that we can thank Jesus for the relationship that we have? Hold God's hand. Be proud of the relationship. Make it a priority. Tell people about it. Don't ask God to stay home. Don't tell him to walk behind you so that people won't see you together. Third gift was prayer. And if you're following with me so far, this one's easy. How do we say thank you to Jesus for making it possible for us to talk to God? By talking to God. Not just when we need to, just because we can. One of the best gifts I've gotten this Christmas, a couple days ago, one of the busiest people I know called me, and I answered the phone. I saw his number, I answered the phone, I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "Nothing." I said, "What do you need?" He said, "Nothing. I just wanted to talk." That was amazing. One of the busiest people I know, and it blew me away. He valued our friendship enough, loved me enough. He carved out time just to talk. And God loves us more than anyone we know. Do we reach out to him just to talk? Do we value his friendship? Do we value his love enough to make time for it? Fourth gift was the Holy Spirit, and that was the big one. How do we say thank you to God for letting the Holy Spirit flood our lives? By letting him flood our lives. By letting him live his life through it. God has given us the Holy Spirit. That's, we still have choices every day, don't we? We can walk in the Spirit, we can walk in the flesh. How do we thank God? By walking in the Spirit. By deciding to seek peace and to find joy and to pursue love, even when everything around us is a storm. All we have to do is believe we can and decide that we want to. I remember my mom gave me a present one Christmas. She gave me a winter jacket because I didn't have a good waterproof winter jacket. I showed up at her house. I was soaking wet. And she looked at me. She said, "Where's the jacket?" I said, "What jacket?" She said, "The one I gave you for Christmas." I said, "Oh, I'm saving it." True story. And she said, "For what?" I said, "You know, for a real storm." She said, "You're soaking wet. Wear your jacket when it's raining out." And God would say the same thing. Hey, don't wait. Walk in the Spirit while you're in this world, because it's one big storm out there. Number five was truth. Number six was power. Let's combine those. How do we thank God for truth? By knowing what it is. How do we thank God for power? By doing what truth tells us. How do we know what truth is? By reading this book. And it blesses God when we do, because there's so much that he's told us here. You know how frustrating it is when you try to tell somebody something and they don't get the message? How many people have ever sent someone a text and you've gone forward assuming that that person got the text and read the text and understood the text? They didn't read the text. "Hey, pick me up at 3. And then you go outside at 3. There's no one there. And you call them and you say, "Where are you?" "What do you mean, where am I?" "I asked you to pick me up at 3. "Oh, I didn't see that." It's frustrating, right? What do you think it is for God who sent us a text? And I know I'm like that. I'm the king of forgets to scroll down. Ann will text me, "Hey, remember to pick up Michaela at 5:30. "Oh, okay, 5:30. Put it back in my pocket. I don't scroll down to where it says, "unless it rains," and then pick her up at 3. And so I get there 2.5 hours later and she's soaking wet. I didn't read that. Blesses my daughter when I scroll down. And it blesses God even more when we scroll down, when we find out what his word says, and then when we do what it says, because we have the power to do it. Avoid sin, avoid temptation, love God, love the people who are hard to love, because God tells us that we should, and he tells us that we can. Finally, eternal life. How do we say thank you to God for getting to spend forever with him? Bring people with us. Bring people with us. Tell people about Jesus so that they can spend eternity in heaven with us and with Jesus. Tell people about Jesus and all the gifts that he came to bring. And that's part of what we've been doing this morning. Maybe you're here this morning, this Christmas day, you never knew any of this. Maybe you've known all of this, but you've never made up your mind what to do about it. Either way, there's a gift waiting for you under the tree this morning. God so loved the world, he sent his only son, that whoever believes on him won't perish but have eternal life. You've got a choice this Christmas. You've got a choice right now. Do you want to open that present? You don't get to enjoy a gift. You don't really benefit from a gift until you receive it and unwrap it and open it. The gift we've been talking about, the gifts that Jesus brought, the gift of Jesus himself, it's under your tree right now. You can decide to open it and you can take it home. You can bring home Jesus with you today, or you can leave it here. All of what we've been talking about, you can just let the words fall on the ground. It's your choice. Here's the thing, you don't have forever to decide. One Christmas a few years ago, I got a gift card, actually from someone in this room. Gift card to a restaurant in town. I kept waiting for the right occasion to use it. Should I use it for a birthday? Should I use it for an anniversary? Should I use it for no reason at all whatsoever? Because then it would really be a surprise. And while I'm trying to decide, the restaurant went out of business. Now, God's never going to go out of business, but there's an expiration date on the gift of Jesus. That expiration date is the day we die. If we've never accepted Jesus on that day, we never will. And so this Christmas, I have to ask, why wait to receive the gift that came on Christmas Day? Why deprive yourself of all of the love and all of the forever that Jesus went to the cross to purchase? I invite you to decide. If you've never made up your mind about Jesus, what do you think about him? And the answer shouldn't be, I'll think about it later. The answer shouldn't be, you know what, I'm going to put that on my list of things to ponder next year. You have the information you need. You know that Jesus came and he lived. And he died on a cross. And that fact is historically better established than virtually any other fact in history. We have more witnesses. We have more firsthand source material that tells us that Jesus died on the cross and he rose again. Why did he rise again? To prove that his sacrifice was acceptable before God. And because he was God and because death couldn't hold him. Will you receive Jesus, the gift that is Jesus, this Christmas? Lord, I pray for anyone in this room that's never opened your marvelous gift. The most expensive gift of all, the most precious gift of all, the most personal gift of all, the thing that's perfect for us, the thing that we needed, the thing maybe we didn't know that we wanted. You sent your son that we could enjoy every other gift that your love has to offer. I pray for anyone in this room right now, anyone in the sound of my voice right now, anyone listening over the radio, anyone listening on a CD, anyone listening on a podcast, Lord, would you speak to their hearts? Would you show them that these things are true? Would you encourage them to reach out for Jesus? For the rest of us, maybe we've been walking with the Lord a while. Maybe we received that gift years ago. For me, it's 22 years ago next week. And maybe that relationship started off kind of like Ann and I exchanging gifts. It was romantic. It was a love affair. And now things have gotten practical. Now things have gotten routine. If that's you, let's make this the year that we fall in love with God all over again. Let's make 2017 the year that we think about and that we talk about and we really focus some attention on how do we thank him? And what are the gifts that we can give him? How do we bless him for all that he's done for us? And what are let's choose those things carefully and prayerfully. And let's give him gifts that convey how truly excited we are that we get to spend forever with him. Amen. Amen.
We hope the Lord has spoken to you through his word today. If you've got questions or comments about this message, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're in the Wichita area and don't have a church that you call home, I hope you'll drop by and check us out. You can always get current service times and directions at area code 316-263-3804 or online at www.ccwichita.org. Most importantly, though, please remember, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. We've all sinned. We've all rebelled against God. And the penalty for that sin is eternal death. But God, in his mercy, sent Jesus to pay that price, to die that death for us. That's why Jesus went to the cross 2,000 years ago. He died so we wouldn't have to. And he rose again in glory, promising eternal life with him forever for those who put their trust in him. So if you haven't decided what to do with the cross, why not say yes to Christ's free gift of salvation right now? You can do it wherever you are simply by praying, "Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I confess I am a sinner, and I need your free gift of salvation. Jesus, please come into my life. Be my Savior and be my Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen." The scripture tells us if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you are his. So pick up a Bible and start reading. Begin at the Gospel of John to understand and rejoice in everything it means to be a child of God. If you're in the Wichita area, I hope that you'll stop by. We'll make sure you have a Bible along with some materials to help you begin your walk with the Lord. If you're not close by, feel free to give us a call. We'll be glad to help you find a solid Bible teaching church in your area. Thanks again for listening. May the Lord richly bless you as you commit your ways to him.